peace be upon you, namaste, and all that jazz. We have got a special podcast for you today. Short and sweet, because I'm still in recovery mode. And it prompted a post on Facebook, on my Facebook, which was, anyone had any near-death experiences? Now, I got a lot of commentary. A lot of, you know, the fish were biting today in the sea of the social media. We had interesting accidents with my brother from another mother up in Scotland, Tam. He's had near-death experiences I don't know why I'm doing that weird accent. He's had near-death experiences ranging from falling off rollerblades, getting an ulcer in his stomach that blew a hole in his stomach, running into a scaffold pole. I'm not going to finish the rest of that, but don't worry, it doesn't involve the nether regions. It involved him nearly opening his skull. So yeah, and other people had near food nasty food poisoning experiences. I had a friend who messaged me telling me about how her husband had near death both her and her husband, they were on a flight that was quite scary in a tropical sandstorm. I myself had a near death experience flight when I was flying to Japan back in 2002. It was a night flight over the Pacific being the world's largest ocean. It was a lightning and thunderstorm in the sky over the clouds. You know, you don't want to ever see a lightning storm from above. Lightning storms are pretty to look at when you're on the ground, but when you're in an airplane, there's a little interesting fact that not many people tell you. Lightning strikes in random directions. It doesn't always necessarily strike down to the earth. Sometimes a lightning bolt can go diagonally and not even touch the ground. Sometimes it can go across the sky, just literally from one cloud, from one side of the sky to the next. And if you're high enough, not with drugs, but if you're high enough altitude-wise, and I will never forget this image of seeing lightning bolts flying up into the sky. A friend of mine, somebody I once knew many years ago, once told me about how many satellites actually get destroyed by lightning bolts. I had a really nasty bug at the end of Ramadan, some horrific food poisoning that literally, it nearly killed me. You know, we've all said those sayings of like, you know, oh, it nearly killed me, you know, this nearly killed me, you know, and we say it metaphorically, like, oh my God, I laughed so hard, I think I almost peed myself, and I couldn't stop breathing for literally 30 seconds. I think I got brain damage from that laughter. I literally nearly killed myself and damaged my... No, it's just a statement of mind. You know, I don't know if it's 30 seconds, obviously. I think it's a lot longer than 30 seconds, you know, in hindsight. I mean, I can hold my breath for 30 seconds underwater, so... obviously. But yeah, it was a near-death experience of epic biblical proportions. I mean, I've had some food poisoning. For me, it was the 15 hours of vomiting up any water I drank. You know, I vomited up my fat, the breaking of my fast, the coffee, anything that I tried to, like, you know the old wives' tale, drink some 7-Up with some lemon, freshly squeezed lemon, and that'll sort out your, you know, some people talk about drink Turkish coffee with lemon, and other people say smoke weed, you know, smoke weed, when anything you, any problems you got, just smoke weed, you got a toothache, smoke weed, backache, smoke weed, taxes, smoke weed, you know, any problems you have, just smoke weed, it'll take care of any problems, any issues you got. But literally, this was a horrible food poisoning experience. Other people spoke of near collisions on motorways, near dying. Actually, I know a friend of mine who had a really nasty car accident. Another friend of mine also. There are times when you're just so lucky that you managed to walk away from, you know, in the words of Captain America, if you get killed, shake it off. And I've been watching a lot of the MCU universe lately in excitement for the launch of Avengers Endgame. I'm hoping to get all those bloopers. Looking to get myself a regionalist Blu-ray and enjoy that on the old console and with headphones. I don't know if I'll be able to watch it with headphones through the controller. That'll be interesting. I'm not sure if it will work. We shall find out. Other people, blood clots near losing pints of blood during miscarriages, just overall near death, you know. Brian Damage comedian commented, I had a near-death experience, but happily we got divorced. Thank you, Brian, because, you know, I appreciate pear-shaped comedy. Brian Damage does that night in London, I believe. When I first started out in comedy, he used to do pear-shaped, I think, Fitzroy. I'm not sure if I'm getting that right. I'm not sure if it's still ongoing, but I do know that I've seen him at the Fringe. The last time I was up at the Edinburgh Fringe, I saw Brian Damage doing pear-shaped at one of the free Fringe venues. I'm pretty sure in 2014 he was there. Mel Moon, another comedian, she had 4 heart attacks and a cardiac tear. And folks, we have a winner. When your heart gives you trouble, you know, I mean, stomach, throwing up, trivial. I've had some, living since moving to Egypt, I have experienced some, what they call affectionately, the mummy's tummy. Or the curse of the pharaoh, you know, the Egyptian KFC syndrome. We all love it, by the way, Egyptian KFC does taste awesome. It does give you diarrhea, but it does taste awesome. It's kind of like, it's like having sex with a hooker, you know it's wrong, but you're still going to do it anyway, because you have needs. You need to feed your needs, you know. So that's the way. I'm sorry, you know. Some, it's very rare that a comedian can sometimes laugh at his own humor. At times, we laugh on the inside. Our funniest stuff we laugh on the inside, but our incredibly hilarious stuff we find ourselves laughing at out loud, you know. But a lot of our stuff we will smile and we like, that's funny. I've got a new joke. But yeah, no, KFC, Egypt, I love the taste of it. Their French fries do leave something to be desired. And funnily enough, everyone in Britain always complains about the KFC French fries there, yet I don't know what they're complaining about. I love the fare of the French fries of KFC. He talked longingly while in the throes of a keto diet. You know, it's interesting when you lose 4 stone, 25 kilos, that's like semi-near death. You're avoiding the slow death, the fat prisons that the Bastille, that cholesterol and diabetes and everything. But back to the heart, Mel Moon, we have a winner. Folks, we got a winner. Juice by Sarah. Sorry, going into realms of pop culture, Requiem for a Dream. Anyway, Mel Moon, she actually did, I believe it was in 2015, maybe? She was doing a comedy show about her journey with her health issues. She's a stand-up comedian that, you know, has, as I said, 4 heart attacks, a cardiac tear, 2 more cardiac tears when her heart went into a VTach. Pardon my ignorance, listeners, I don't know what a VTach is, and I'll Google that later. Shocked back, which I'm guessing means that they use the and clear, you know, the electro machines. When your heart gives you problem, I mean, if you haven't seen Richard Pryor when he talks about your first heart attack, I'm not gonna dare talk or try to replicate, but I highly recommend after this podcast you go and you watch Richard Pryor live on, I think it's live on Sunset Boulevard in the 70s, and he did this great piece in his routine about having a heart attack. And it is, in his words, "Ain't this a bitch? I died and went to the wrong heaven." Because you have to see it to know what I'm talking about. But it is a horrible feeling when your health gives you issues. I mean, since I moved to Egypt, I've had nonstop delightful food poisonings. My first experience of true blood style vampire food poisoning was in 2008, 2009 academic year when I first started teaching in Cairo. And I was unaware how badly my eyes looked from the violent projectile vomit. I mean, I'm talking so violent that my face felt like all the circulation between my skull and my face was about to explode. It was literally that kind of nasty violent. To be fair, there was too many culprits in the equation for that. It was not KFC, Egypt. You guys are off the hook on this. First suspect, could have been the turkey wrap at Cilantro, or the latte with possible milk. But I don't think it was Cilantro's turkey wrap, because that was in the morning and all day. You know, it would not have taken all day for that to kick in. And I don't think it was the Domino's pizza that we ordered, because it was a good pizza, but I definitely believe the culprit was this nasty little bar, tavern, restaurant in Zamalek in Cairo called Deals. I had a chicken Kiev that tasted slightly not right. For a Ukrainian specialty dish, it tasted oddly Cold War, like it was from before the 90s, before the fall of the Soviet wall between, you know, it felt like some Cold War chicken. It felt like Soviet era chicken that was released out of the fridge. I don't know. It was not a pretty food poison. Anyway, long story short, I realized how badly this food poisoning was when I had to call the headmaster, and luckily I was living in accommodation, which was on the school grounds. So he came and he looked me in the eyes, and his face, I don't know why, because he's always jokey, always joking around kind of headmaster, you know. Really, he was really a really cool dude to work for, Mr. Robert Kleinhans. Really, always, I'll miss work. He was my favorite boss out of all the bosses. Now I'm my own boss, but he was definitely my favorite boss of all, because he's always the kind of boss that, you know, in a school you need to have positive energy, you need to have, you know, good energy, good vibes, and he provided that. Provided that for the students, provided that for the staff, and he was a great, but this was the only time that I saw his face look really serious when he came with the doctor, the school doctor, who ironically was like Quincy, a coroner, like his specialty. Somebody told me his specialty was forensic coronary medicine, which in hindsight is not the ideal doctor you want coming to visit you, you know, the doctor that examines you after you're dead. But anyway, after they left, I went to the bathroom, and when I was washing my hands, because I was stuck in bed from like literally the time of vomiting until he came to visit me, like I wasn't able to eat anything. Drinking, I would always go and throw it up and rinse my mouth, like hardly, you know, turn the lights on in the bathroom, hardly look at my reflection. And it was one of those big ass, like, you know, oh yeah, bow chicka wow wow kind of porno bathrooms, because it was like a huge mirror, like a gigantic mirror, like the kind of mirror that you and your loved one would enjoy. But strange that, you know, they would have those kind of bathrooms on the school grounds for, but, you know, teachers are human beings, and a lot of married couples, teachers. This is in no way an indirect dark joke about, you know, teachers and students. No. Anyway, after Mr. Kleinhans left, I was like, why is he looking so serious? So I went to the bathroom to just see what he saw. And I saw it. All the white of my eyes, like, you know, around the iris. I think it's called cornea. The white part. Not sure. The white of the eye was filled with bloodshot veins of burst blood vessels in both eyes. That's basically the look of death. I had to wear sunglasses when I finally was able to walk and leave and was not hostage to the toilet. I had those red Christopher Lee Hammer House of Horror Dracula movie vampire eyes. You know, back in the day when they must have, like, you know, punched or given Christopher Lee, they'd be like, smoke this weed, you'll get really good red vampire eyes. Which is why he never did much dialogue, if you remember those old Hammer House. He rarely spoke. He was always smiling. He showed his teeth. I suppose because those teeth didn't make it easy for him to talk that much. That's an interesting theory. Interesting how you think. Anyway, near-death experiences. It's all tied into a bit of a gag I did in my last gig, where I talked about the article. It speaks of, you know, how in the, you know, 50 years from now, in the year 2525, there's going to be more dead people on Facebook than living people. Which kind of reminds me of George Carlin or Louis C.K. One of them spoke about, like, how there's going to be more, there are more dead people than living people. I forget which one it was who said, but that's the thing. You know, life is about living. Embrace life. Because, you know, believe it or not, good health is in itself the biggest blessing you could hope for. I'm not 100% right after my bug, my most recent stomach bug. I don't know where I got it from. I don't know where it came from. Because we eat everything at home prepared, so I don't know if it was something my cat brought in from outside. I honestly don't know. I don't know if it was chemtrails from above. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not one of those chemtrails conspiracy theorists, but I'm not one who rules out the conspiracy theorists, all the conspiracy theorists. There are some conspiracies that are like a little, really? Really? You believe the monarchy are lizard people? Come on. Don't be ridiculous. You know? Really? You believe Elvis is alive? Come on. Come on. I'm not going to go into the others, other theories, because the most important theory is the theory of life and death. Enjoy life. Don't worry about death. Because as one famous French actor said in a film that made my mother chuckle, in French, I can't remember what the joke was, but translated, death is hereditary. I inherited it from my mother. I've been Safe AK, also known as the Funny Fat Man, also known as Susan, in some job interviews. Peace be upon you, namaste, and all that jazz. Get busy living, get busy dying.